from KQED.
This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Who is Sheldon Adelson? And it is Adelson, not Adelson, sort of like Levine and Levine, or Levine and Levine. I've been saying Adelson. Sheldon Adelson, well, aside from being the head of the Las Vegas Sands Corporation, he is the biggest donor in the U.S. presidential race, having contributed an estimated $35 million thus far of his $25 billion fortune to Newt Gingrich's failed presidential bid and the super PAC supporting Mitt Romney. He has vowed to spend $100 million on the Romney-Ryan presidential ticket to defeat President Obama, and he has met recently with Congressman Paul Ryan at the Sands' own Venetian Hotel and in Jerusalem with Governor Romney. Part of his support for the Republican ticket stems from his passionate support for the state of Israel and his distrust of President Obama and the Democrats where support of Israel and the Netanyahu-Likud party are concerned. But in addition to Israel, he has major financial interests aligned with four gambling casinos in the former Portuguese colony of Macau, which came under China's control in 1999. Macau has become the world's gambling capital. Since 2001, annual revenues from there have reached $23.5 billion. That's over 2.5 times the revenues of Las Vegas Strip and Atlantic City combined. And the major recipient has been the Sands Corporation and Sheldon Adelson. They're presently under federal and Nevada state investigations, and we want to take up all this morning with a couple of people who are right on the case. Lowell Bergman with us in studio, professor of investigative reporting at UC Berkeley's Graduate School of Journalism and producer correspondent for the PBS documentary series Frontline. The story has been, by the way, a collaboration between ProPublica, Frontline, and the investigative reporting program of the University of California. And welcome, Lowell Bergman.
Nice to be here, Michael.
Good to have you. Also good to have Matt Isaacs with us, who's here in studio, senior reporter and instructor at the UC Berkeley Investigative Reporting Program. Welcome, Matt Isaacs.
Good morning.
Good morning to both of you. And I don't know who wants to begin helping us sort this out, but when you look at all the investigating that's going on and just how Byzantine this case is in terms of all the charges and countercharges and so forth, I should mention that Adelson has said, I will prove 1,000% that there's nothing wrong and no wrongdoing. But what have you found out from your investigation?
Well, we should explain first that we've been looking at Macau in particular and the publicly traded companies like Las Vegas Sands for the last 3 years. And there's been a long series of publications. And one of the fundamental problems that exists for him and all the U.S. companies operating in Macau is what business is like in Macau isn't necessarily in concert with U.S. federal law in particular in terms of how you're supposed to operate. The fundamental problem he has
even Senator McCain had pointed this out.
Yeah, Senator McCain pointed out that this is, he said, Chinese money, but really what he meant was the nature of Macau in the Chinese economy. Gambling is illegal in China.
Except for Macau.
But collecting debts, gambling debts in China is also illegal. You can't collect debts in court in China. In the old days, that was the way Las Vegas was. You couldn't collect debts there
easily.
It's
a lot like old Las Vegas, isn't it? I mean, with the junkets and all that kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. And so it was the junket operators, the people who bring the high rollers, which accounts in Adelson's case for almost 70% of his revenue, to the casinos who guarantee those debts. And some people define organized crime as a business that simply can't collect its debts in court.
Well, let me ask, actually, maybe Matt Isaacs, you can address this. The triad is very prominent in this whole operation, or at least is alleged to be very – that's the organized crime of China.
Yes. Law enforcement say that the triads are largely controlled by organized crime groups in China called the triads, which go back centuries and have held control of Macau for at least as long. And basically, the organized crime component comes into the picture for collecting the debts, as Lowell has said, as well as advancing huge sums of money because at the same time, China prevents gamblers from bringing much cash into the area. So organized crime and controlling these junket groups advance cash and collect the debts in China. And there are a lot of unsavory characters here involved.
And the key word here is guanxi. I mean, that's where things get very confusing, isn't it, Lowell? I mean, that's kind of under the table stuff. You know?
Well, that takes us to a separate problem, which is that in order to survive, these industries depend upon government approval. And that can get tenuous at times. So it's who you know, who you hire, who you pay money to. And U.S. companies have to operate under the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act, which requires that they don't pay public officials for favors for business, basically.
Well, Adelson's had some defectors, some people that he's broken with, who have pointed out that all sorts of things went on here that shouldn't have gone on here.
That happened in a lawsuit that was filed in October of 2010 that's ongoing and is becoming more and more contentious. And it appears in the latest filings in that it was a wrongful dismissal suit of a senior executive. And it appears in the recent filings in that case and a hearing that's going to be happening at the end of August that allegations of cover-up, of destruction of records, of documents, and so on, both by attorneys and others, are now going to take over as another issue related to Sheldon Adelson and the way he does business.
But you and Matt Isaacs, in terms of the work you've done, the Berkeley Investigative Reporting Program, have uncovered some emails, and so has ProPublica, right?
Well, there are documents that we've posted online. There are internal documents of Las Vegas Sands that point out what was actually going on inside the company. And I think a fair characterization would be that most of them point to the fact that Sheldon Adelson himself was involved in a lot of decision-making related to more questionable activities that are under investigation. That's very, very unusual in an investigation of a Fortune 500 company, that you would see the chief shareholder and the CEO directly involved in decisions that usually you might get an underling or two involved in, but he's right there hands-on.
Well, this is a guy who alienated a lot of the Chinese people that he dealt with. He was described, I guess, somewhat maybe charitably, as being like a Chinese emperor, at least so the Chinese could perhaps understand him to a greater degree.
Well, the story was he was described by one of his former chief executive, actually, the number two in the company for many years, as someone who was like the first emperor of China. He would take philosophers and bury them alive with their books.
But he's responded to most of these allegations, as I said, by saying this is a witch hunt. I've done nothing wrong. Do you have some goods here, Matt Isaacs? The goods on?
Yep. Well, I think in the article we published last month, I think what we were able to illustrate was at least what the company was thinking about these relationships. We don't go any further than that. But certainly if you look at the article and the emails we published there, the general counsel of the company believed there was a problem, and it seems that outside counsel believed there was a problem with the relationship with a lawyer they retained in Macau who was also a sitting lawmaker. And under U.S. law, which Las Vegas Sands has to abide by, that is a problem.
And he was on the payroll for quite some time, then went off the payroll and back on the payroll?
And he is currently on the payroll.
And he's currently on
but
the
general counsel who raised these questions is no longer on the payroll.
Well, let me
nor any of the other executives who raised these questions.
There are a lot of questions about Sheldon Adelson, I mean, in terms of not only his support of political candidates, and I guess there's a Jewish organization that's kind of involved in this too, because his support for Israel is well known, and they've taken him on as well.
Well, various organizations repeated part of an allegation in the lawsuit about the prostitution policies at the casino. And there was a question raised in one of the filings in court as to why certain documents related to that were not available. There was one Democratic Party organization that conflated that into Adelson makes his money off prostitution.
And had
they've
to apologize.
They've apologized.
Publicly. Yeah.
The particular Jewish organization involved has not, and they have been sued. And he has a long history of suing both journalists. He threatened us at one point with litigation. He's not shy about suing, and he's become somewhat famous on local TV in Las Vegas, for instance. They've run clips from some of the depositions because he usually brings in his Israeli bodyguards on certain occasions, and that's become pretty theatrical.
I'm going to open the phone lines, and the real question here is, should we care about Sheldon Adelson? I mean, in the sense that, you know, somebody like George Soros, he's a big Democratic donor. Mm-hmm. He's been accused of insider trading. He's been accused of currency manipulation. So we don't want to make this into a partisan attack on Sheldon Adelson, but he is playing a very preeminent role right now as the biggest donor in the presidential campaign.
That we know of.
That we know of, yes.
Okay. I mean, you have to give Mr. Adelson credit that what he does appear to do a lot of it in public and just says, that's what I'm doing. We don't know about, and there have been some reports about others who are giving through these nonprofits, for example, where they don't have to reveal their names.
Well, let me open the phone lines. How do you feel about this? And if you have questions, you can join us as well. Our toll-free number is available, and we invite you to join us, whether you're listening on radio, internet, or a Sirius satellite. And the time to call is now, 866-733-6786. Please feel free to join the program, 866-733-6786. Or, of course, you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or go to our Facebook page and in fact, here's a listener, Susan, who says, so Romney's election bid is in large part underwritten by gambling money from overseas. I'm not referring to the Koch brothers.
Well,
indeed. Sheldon Adelson's operations receive 80% of their revenues from China and at least 50% from Macau. And to do business in Macau requires these companies to forge relationships that would be deemed unsavory in the United States. There's no getting around it. It's documented.
They admitted, by the way. At first they said they were unaware of it, but now they have in court admitted that they had contractual relationships with various Chinese organized crime figures.
That's been admitted to, yeah. But you've also got – interesting in this whole picture is Mitt Romney, a Mormon – and Mormons are opposed religious principle against gambling. I mean, they're opposed to gambling of all kinds.
Yeah, but they're the bank. They were the original bankers for the casinos in Las Vegas, the Mormons, and they're still there. And, you know, they seem to be able to coexist in that relationship
without being troubled by that paradox. How do you see this? Well, this is maybe a question for Mark Sandlow, who we talked to before, but. You see this playing into the campaign and maybe even corrupting the campaign. And as I said, maybe you could say the same about Soros. This is the big money, really. But maybe more so because it's coming from Chinese gambling that's apparently in questionable
sense. Let's be nonpartisan about it. In 1996, there was a ChinaGate scandal involving the Clinton administration.
Right.
Some of the same characters who were involved in that are involved with Sheldon Adelson. And that money came out of Macau. And in that case, it was brought in cash through the U.S. border personally by an individual who is currently involved with Sheldon Adelson as one of his, if you will, lobbyists in Beijing. So this is not a situation where it's just the Republicans who are involved.
In fact, Adelson gambled a lot with Macau. I mean, he at one point stood the possibility of losing what fortune he had accumulated at that point.
He's a gambler, you know. He bets big, and he's come out on top thus far. But I think that that's also a critical issue. I think Lowell and I would both agree that this is not a partisan issue at all. We've been looking at Macau. We've been looking at how Macau affects corporations and the like. But Adelson has – what we see as the chief concern is Adelson's influence in this election while he's also standing – under investigations, and a change of administration could affect those investigations.
Can we talk about those investigations? There's a federal one and there's one in Nevada, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And they're both ongoing.
Right.
And they're looking into different things, actually, aren't they?
There's multiple things they're looking at.
I mean, if the head spins at all the things they're looking at in many respects here.
Yeah, well, let's step back for a second. So we have this business, and it's dependent both on government approval in China as well as for debt collection, at least, on what we would call organized crime groups here in the United States. And in fact, the individuals involved have been identified by U.S. congressional committees and others. So it's not a big secret. So the question is, what is the influence of that on our political process, and how could that actually be happening? I think there's one question. For those of us who are old-timers who remember Watergate and remember bags full of money coming into the United States or corporate influence and so on. So I think we're having a replay here of that situation.
But in many people's minds, it's foreign money supporting – I mean essentially mm-hmm. foreign profit money supporting a presidential campaign.
Well, but that's also what happened before.
Yeah.
There were multinational corporations.
It's deja vu all over again.
It's multinational corporations bringing in money and in this case quite strikingly very publicly.
Let me bring Zach on here. Zach, join us. You're on the air on Forum. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. I have a comment and a question. In 1985, on one of my three visits to Hong Kong, I did take the hydrofoil out to Macau, and it was interesting. It was a boat full of people with shopping bags, what appeared to be cash. And when I went into the Hotel Lisboa, which had the only casino there at that time, run by Stanley Ho, who has been written about. I was wondering how Adelson got a leg up over Stanley Ho.
Well, they're competitors, and Adelson has actually been quite vocal in his dislike of Stanley Ho. Stanley Ho held a monopoly in the region for 40 years, and it was in 2002 that China opened up the region to foreign gaming like Las Vegas Sands, ostensibly to clean the region up. And they have cleaned it up. But at the same time, these U.S. corporations have also gotten sucked into this world and moved over to the China side as well, where there are issues.
There are a lot of charges, though, not only of prostitution going back and forth here and organized
legal,
crime.
By the way, prostitution is legal in Macau.
Yeah.
And so it's not.
But
and,
I mean, tied to organized crime.
Well, it rarely is run as a freelance operation without somebody around to collect and bring in the women. Okay, so it's known as a main trafficking point for women. Basically.
Wasn't there also, though, a question about a hit on a dealer that?
There was a gentleman who an old time gambling figure in Macau with ties to the triads who was attacked recently in his own hotel, and they didn't kill him. They cut all the tendons in his body, basically, or they damaged them. So,
but essentially, and also, we got into this whole project by documenting the case of a guy, one of these junket operators who was working there.
Working inside Las Vegas Sands.
Who was working inside Las Vegas Sands, who had ordered a hit. This is in court records where he had ordered five guys to attack a gambler with machetes. And that's how we got into it, is how could this guy be working with Las Vegas Sands? And not only was it in court records, but if you look at the Hong Kong Stock Exchange, he was listed there as a publicly traded company in the filings as connected to Las Vegas Sands as well.
And with a credit line, you know, in the tens of millions of dollars from Adelson's operation. But I should point out the New Yorker did a whole – based on that article last April, did a whole article about the guy who was the subject of the attack, known as the, quote, god of gambling. So – but this is emblematic of the way business is done. They thought that the U.S. companies were going to be able to clean up – that was the idea – what Stanley Ho's operations were like. And it appears the opposite is what is taking place.
I'm talking with Lil Bergman and Matt Isaacs, both with the UC Berkeley Graduate School of Journalism and Lowell, of course, producer and correspondent for the PBS documentary series Frontline. Matt Isaacs is a senior reporter and instructor at UC Berkeley's investigative reporting program. Some of our listeners, Tony writes, anyone who has paid the least attention to this year's campaign is familiar with President Obama's habit of demonizing the opposition. To believe that the various investigations of Mr. Adelson are not politically motivated is frankly ludicrous. By the way, Mormons are opposed to gambling by church members. They are more than happy to take others' money. Well, what about this, though? I mean, again, we wouldn't want to get into partisan politics.
Okay, but the government investigation, the federal investigation began in early 2011 after the filing of this lawsuit in Nevada. And that was a standard sort of situation. The government of the United States usually recognizes when serious allegations of illegality are made in a civil case, they will investigate to see whether or not they're substantive. And particularly in FCPA-related matters, that is international bribery matters, that's pretty standard. In fact, if anything, the federal investigation, in my experience, has been extremely slow. Even by some people look at these international investigations are usually slow. But in a year and a half, they haven't gotten very far. I think this investigation is going to be going on for a long time. However, it may change. The nature of it may change depending upon a hearing that's going to take place at the end of August in Nevada, because it appears that from the court record in this civil case that there's been a systematic destruction of files, original files and hard drives, and a withholding of documents when the company itself knew that the they were saying they were in Macau, they couldn't bring them here. They're now admitting that they were here in Las Vegas the whole time. So that may affect the federal investigation. You may see a whole nother chapter of it open up.
Didn't Paul Ryan go like 3 days after he
announced the first personal visit he made?
First personal visit to see Adelson. Here's a listener, Brian, who writes, "Dude, I don't know who that refers to. The real question is, should we care? Obviously, the real question is that he's quoting me. The real question is, should we care? He says, obviously, the real question is, should one man have so much power over our elections? That is the real question."
And Sheldon Adelson has made himself fair game for these questions. He's been out front with his contributions, and he's made it clear he's going to be asking very explicit demands of Mitt Romney, should he become president. I think we've seen that as well. And so I think the public has the right to know who is this guy and where does his money come from and how does he do business. And it should be noted that we began this investigation 3 years ago, long before Sheldon Adelson became a household name.
Well, you know, you could argue that despite all those millions, it didn't help Gingrich that much. You know, we don't know at this point to what extent it's going to help Romney.
But it was one person changing the course of the Republican primary. And that's what the interesting phenomenon is. And by the way, again, doing it in public. This is not, you know—
He's not shy about that.
No, he's not shy about what he's doing, and he could have avoided a lot of scrutiny by figuring out ways of doing it, which are now possible under Citizen United, where you really don't see it.
So we get right into money and politics in this story. I mean, to what extent would, let's say, a Sheldon Adelson backing of a Romney-Ryan ticket ultimately redound to his favor in terms of— well, let's go back a bit in history, because— there was an attempt to get China out of the Olympics, and as I recall, Tom DeLay, who was then Majority Whip, was called by Sheldon Adelson before he became a household name and said, you know, this is no good, and he was hearing right from China that they didn't want that to happen, and DeLay said, don't worry about it. He got it squashed, basically.
I think
Did I have that story right?
Essentially. I mean, I think what you're seeing here gets back to what Lowell was saying earlier. What makes this story and this situation truly unique is Mr. Adelson's direct involvement in the decision making, in calling people for whom he's contributed money, leaning on the politicians for whom he's supported. We see that time and again, and I think that
the nature of the way our political system. Well, I almost said works. Doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work necessarily to the benefit of the people. I'm on my soapbox here. But the fact is money is simply too involved in politics, and I think that's why people like Soros and Adelson call a great deal of attention to themselves, because we realize to what extent that's—
Yeah, I think that what's happened, we've noticed in our coverage of this, that we were sort of out there alone for maybe 2 years, and it's because of his involvement in the election, starting with Gingrich, that was much more media attention. That's what brought the situation sort of into focus for a lot of people. But I think we have to remember that in Adelson's case, as opposed to Soros, there seems to be an immediate demand, a quid pro quo that he's asking for, which is quite unusual. You know, he's apparently reportedly asked Romney to release Jonathan Pollard, you know, and there hasn't even been an election yet.
A lot of people may not know who Jonathan Pollard was. He was a man who's convicted of spying for the Israelis a number of years ago and has been serving quite some time in prison. Here's Bruce, who writes, "The hypocrisy. If the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act applied to California in the 1990s and early 2000s, California Assembly Speaker Willie Brown and later Mayor of San Francisco, who was also an attorney, would have gone broke by being unable to go represent special interests." We'll leave that out there. And another listener writes, "Soros was convicted of the felony of insider trading in France, and the conviction was upheld on appeal." Also true, and we thank you for that. And we'll go to another caller here. Let's get Vince on. Vince, you're on.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, hi. I really admire the front line, but this particular thing, it's like, I think you got to retitle this segment, Cultural Differences Between the U.S. and the Rest of the World, like leg-breaking extortion, murder, business and cultural practices in Macau are very different, and we're not going to change them. So, you know, and it's a globalization world with interconnected, so you're kind of, the story is kind of merging into the, you know, cultural and moralistic imperialism of the United States, you know, everybody should be like us.
Well, the way that
it's Matt Isaacs.
I think the way we've approached it, I hear that question a lot, and that's a reasonable concern. And I think the U.S. has no business exporting its morals. But if a U.S. company is doing business in a foreign region, it still must abide by U.S. laws. There's no getting around that. It's not about changing how Macau does its business, but somehow or another, if a company is going to gain 75% of its revenue from a foreign region, it still needs to figure out a way to abide by U.S. laws.
And there are very specific laws about the way business is conducted in foreign sovereign states.
And there's an argument. The Chamber of Commerce, for instance, is sponsoring part of the Republican platform to change the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act to loosen the regulations that, in a sense, the U.S. companies sometimes say shackle them in terms of competing with other countries.
Yeah.
You know, and it was true for many years until relatively recently that it was a deduction on your corporate tax returns if you paid bribes. And that's the moral question, really, if you want to talk about it in terms of business in the United States or worldwide. Is it okay to bribe?
Some say that the influence that I've been stumping on about with politics is really a form of bribery, but we won't necessarily go there. Let me go to another caller instead. Don, you're on.
Yeah, like I was saying, you know, the problem is here that this guy has got so much power and so much influence that it would make no difference be he convicted in a court of law. If Romney were the president, Romney would give him a presidential pardon. You know, this is totally ridiculous, but it is a shame that how money just completely ruins our political system.
Well, thank you for those remarks, Don. In fact, David writes, isn't there anything in the various campaign finance reform bills that have passed that would prevent one person from giving so much to one campaign?
Not under the last Supreme Court decision that addressed this subject, and that's why you're seeing this phenomenon.
And also under the present PAC system, because that's where the money is really being funneled into this campaign. Well, as always, impressed with the work you guys do. And where are we going to see this wind up? On Frontline?
There will eventually be a documentary, believe it or not. It depends on who's going to go on camera and when. And there'll be ongoing reporting over the next year.
Lil Bergman, Matt Isaacs, thank you so much for joining us this morning in studio.
Thank you, Michael.
We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11. An hour is repeated, 10 to 11 in the evening. And we'll be up ahead with another hour talking about the A-world, A-word, that is. Don't you guess what that is, as we talk to Jeff Nunberg, famed linguist, in the hour ahead. Join us for that. Thanks for joining us for this. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, owners of Clos Pegase Winery, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.